Welcome back to the Zero Check Podcast, the podcast where five friends sit around and play Pathfinder every episode. Hey guys, should we do a thing where we go around and actually introduce ourselves? Something that we haven't done since episode one. I'll go first. My name's Mike.
I miss the agenda.
I don't agree with this.
Yeah, this sounds like new business, and I don't see an agenda.
Yes. Yeah, bring back the agenda.
Okay. All right, fellas.
Well, just kidding. Okay.
We'll have to push this vote till next week.
No, if you'd like to do intros, I think that's a good idea to refresh and remind.
Sure. Please tell the people who you are.
Okay. I'm Donnie. I play Og Julnison Tompton.
I'm Bill. I play Dry Colmay.
Yes.
Hey, this is Mitch, played by Brad Jarrett. Or this is Brad Jarrett playing Mitch. Is there a format? I'm sorry. Did I miss an email? Did I miss an email?
I think you got it covered, though.
And I'm Chris. I play Sirio Sertova.
There. We did it.
We'll be able to cut that together.
Nope. I'm just going to leave it just like that.
Why edit it? That's perfect.
Oh, my gosh. Let's see here, fellas. I have a quick agenda here today. I actually have a series of corrections to make from last episode. And then I think we can get right back into this harpy encounter, which has gone haywire.
I'm going to let you, like, one of those corrections will be not dropping Mitch off the side of the cliff, right?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm okay with that correction.
If I were to correct that, I would have pulled, I was about to say pull Sirio off, but it would have been the same thing since you've got impact foam chassis as well. I guess I should have yanked off. That sounded a little bit wrong. I guess I should have.
I'm here for it.
I guess I should have.
Yeah.
I can't form coherent thoughts right now. I'm so embarrassed.
Should we upgrade the rating on the podcast now?
Maybe. Yeah, we're right back to a mature rating on
NC-17.
Should I have pulled off Og Julnison Tompton? That doesn't work. Sucked him off the shaft? No, that wouldn't have worked. None of this is going to work. I should have just dumped him off the tower, but I didn't do it. Instead, I don't know. There's something about Mitch Groning that just attracts me to him. I want to see the man suffer. There's just something about him. I don't know what
I want to see Bill suffer for clicking Roll 20 of the map one more fucking time. See, there goes my foul language for the episode.
So you can tell that Bill is bored. He begins pinging the map just to kind of see the shapes. He likes the colors.
It's called ADD. And I fucking deal with it. I'll do it up in the corner. How's that?
You do whatever you want. But Bill, you know, we've been friends a long time. You can ping my map whenever you want. It's fine. Let's stay on task, gentlemen. I failed to ask for fortitude saves from both Sirio and Ikundeo when they got up into the tower versus the harpy stench. So let's just resolve those now. I'll roll a check on behalf of Ikundeo, and we can. And Chris, would you resolve one on behalf of Sirio?
Go fortitude. 17.
Natural one from Ikundeo. So he's
dead.
Yeah. Is he sickened for 24 hours now, too?
Well, so that's the putrid plague that you're thinking about that Og Julnison Tompton has. But there's also this stench ability that Ikun has. Yeah, he crit failed that. So as a result of critically failing stench, let me look this up real quick. Oh, he's slowed one. In addition to being sickened one, as long as he's sickened. Wow. That's horrible. That's terrible. I love it. Wow. Yeah. So I guess it must hit him a little bit late. He gets sick. But Sirio, you rolled over a 21, right?
No, 17 total.
Oh, 17 total. Okay, so you will be sickened one, but you don't. It wasn't a crit fail, so you don't get the slowed version. So both you and Ikun are overcome with sickness, and we're just, that would have occurred really before that first turn. So, I mean, it is what it is. Now, the second correction I have to do actually does have to do with Mitchell. You might recall that when Og got pulled up the steps into melee with that harpy got to resolve a free attack roll on Og, which hit. I forgot to do that to Mitch.
Bummer, dude.
Yeah, I know. Yes, bummer indeed. All right, here I go. Rolling. Oh,
no.
That's a 19 on the die for that attack roll. Oh, here. Did you know you could pull the little die out and put it right there on the board? Look at that. Pull that right there. Put it right there on the map. All right. So, God, this is just really where the night went wrong because I can feel Brad's mind just leaving his body right now. He is so, are you okay, man? Do I have your consent to continue this way, or is this just too much for everybody?
You do, Mike. That's fine.
Okay. As a natural 19, with the attack modifier, that's going to come out to a 34.
That's a miss. But hold on. Okay, so like it pulled me in midair, did the attack in midair.
Yeah. Yeah, what the ability is, Hungry Winds. The harpy uses the wind to pull its prey closer. A target within 20 feet must succeed a DC 21 fortitude save or be pulled adjacent to the harpy, where they then make a jaws strike against the target. If the target was pulled off the ground and can't fly, it then falls as normal.
Yeah, that's so a crit.
That's what happened.
Yeah, that is a crit.
Okay, then I'm going to do a 2d8, I'm sorry, a 4d8 plus 8. And
how much health do you have left?
Oh, I'm full health. I haven't taken any damage.
Yeah, 48 plus 8, and then I do need that fortitude saving throw.
I'll let you do your damage first.
31.
Holy crap.
Ouch.
Yep.
So that just makes the impact foam chassis all the more clutch, because, like, imagine if that had been Og. I get the crit on him, and then he falls, you know, 90 feet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's an incredible thing that you've
done. that's a fort save.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think that's gonna do much. It's only a 19.
You know what, you pass.
Oh, fantastic.
You do pass, so you do not contract the putrid plague, so you got that going for you.
Cool.
You see,
all right, what is the range on that emanation that they have?
You are not in the stank anymore.
Okay, so I'm not sickened anymore.
Well, yeah, 30 feet down the mountain.
And I can't remember, I guess you, because you failed the aura fortitude check.
I did, yeah, and it was after my attack, so.
Yeah, you're out of the stinkiness now. You're down on the floor of the jungle. You're feeling fine. As I recall, you resolved a pretty cool turn. You shot Harpy B with an arrow, and that concluded last week's game. A quick game recap. You guys are in Hargulka's lair and will be for the next 45 episodes. Okay, and so that is the end of Mitchell's turn. We're going to pick the game back up, right back into combat, cue up the combat music, you know. Oh, ooh, that's jazzy. And it's going to be Ikundeo, okay? And so Ikundeo, he already had hunted prey on Harpy A, but he's now slowed one because he critically failed the stench check, and he will remain slowed one as long as he is sickened. So he's going to retch as his first action to try to remove the sickened condition. And with a natural 2, he will not do so. With a single action left, oh no, what should I do, fellas? I guess I gotta just try to, I mean, he's just gonna remain slowed too. It makes no sense for him to try to do anything until he can get rid of this condition. So he's gonna take a second action to once again try to remove the sickened condition. And this time with an unadjusted 17, he will get that done. So Ikundeo spends his entire round just trying to make his body feel better. That takes us then to King Sertova.
All right, so they smelled pretty gross, and I kind of saw what Ikundeo was doing. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to try to aim the same spot where Og threw up so that we're not making messes all over the place.
Sure.
Ooh, I rolled a 6.
Ooh, it is your, let's see. Yeah, it is a DC 21 fortitude save.
It's 17, so that's failed. One second, let me look at what sickened actually does, if it matters.
Sickened always includes a value. You take a status penalty equal to this value on all of your checks and DCs.
So that's attack rolls, armor class.
Everything, yep.
For, you know, I think it might be your saves, too. That's a DC.
Yep, yeah, every check.
It's what you might call a debuff.
It's a really good one.
With my next two actions, I'm going to try to do an electric arc against the harpies.
Ooh, they are positioned such that that'll work. Okay, I will roll fort saves on behalf of them. Let's see, Harpy A rolls a 21, and Harpy B rolls a 21. Two
pass,
identical
pass.
Rolls. Pass, pass?
Yep.
Okay, so they'll each take half damage.
Six electric damage each.
They hiss. They look at you. They don't know that you're wearing impact foam chassis. Okay. Dry Colmay. To reorient the listener, Dry is down the stairs, kind of watching the party six a little bit. What are you doing, man?
I can go through their squares, right?
You can.
Wait, is it one move to get to A?
Yeah, I think you can run up past Sirio and Ogdulinus and Tompton. You can end up in this square in a single move action.
All right. Fortitude check?
Yeah, of course. The stench hits you next.
Oh, it's a 29 work.
Oh, yeah. You don't care, man. Nice. You pass. You're over it. You know what Dry Colmay does? He breathes through his mouth.
I figured he's a mouth breather.
I have a mouth breather. Just walk around the whole time.
Yeah, that's just how you naturally do it, man. You have no idea. You're not sure why everyone's vomiting around you.
I'm like, what's wrong with all you guys? All right, well, I obviously have my sword in my hand, so let's go to work.
Let's go to work, man.
I'm going to hunt prey on A.
Okay.
And then I'm just going to take a whack at her.
Sure, a strike.
With a natural 20 on the die.
Whoa. No way. Oh, yeah, see? Oh, I knew. You know what? You know, this could go well. You get to double your precision. Yeah, man, this is going to be good.
Dry is named.
And a crit card.
Oh, a crit card, yeah.
20 total damage.
You know, Bill, I've said this a lot to you lately. Why don't you describe the manner in which you kill Harpy
Yay.
A?
Hell,
who, that wouldn't have been lethal without that electric arc damage, though. Harpy A had, you know, I think 17 HP left at this point. What do you do to this beast?
So I go running up the stairs, and I kind of hit her with like a charge. Mm. Like I bump her into the wall with my shoulder. As she comes back, I just ram my sword into her stomach.
Well, and this map's a little... that's actually open air. So are you telling me that she flies off the tower and slides down the rock face?
Yes.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay, and her bowels coming out everywhere. That was a little needless. I didn't need to do that.
She's a harpy. I'm okay with it.
I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
Ogdulinus and Tompton, you just watched as Dry Colmay ran up the stairs and eviscerated a harpy.
He's really proud. Everyone, people are throwing up really well. People are killing the harpies really well. Like, all the things he likes to see is happening. So he is going to... he's going to look out the window at Harpy B, or the open air, whatever it happens to be. And then, Mike, I need that Harpy B to make a fortitude check, please. Fortitude save.
My toes are tingling at this. Okay, a fortitude save on this
fortitude
Harpy.
Fortitude save.
18.
That's a failure.
Ooh.
So...
Ooh.
This is three. This is three actions.
What is this?
This is called the Ring of the Ram. The Ring of the Ram.
The Ring of the Ram.
The Ring of the Ram.
Inherited.
Yes.
Inherited.
So you can do that... this. Can be one or more interactions. So I'm doing all three because I'm going full bore here. Ram-shaped blast of force within. Let me just double check. Yes, within 60 feet. So we're good there.
Yeah.
And it will deal, determines the intensity of the force. The deal blows 2d6 force damage per action. So that'll be, 66 force damage?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And pushes the target 5 feet per action spent, so 15 feet. And then you had 22 force save, but he failed that. And then for the failure, so you'll take the full damage and push the full distance. So
you'll
be pushed down 15 feet.
Oh, you want to push her down?
I want to push her down
toward the ground?
Towards Mitch, yeah.
Okay. Mitch. She goes 15 feet down.
And then let me roll out 66 damage here.
Do it.
I'm really excited.
This also takes her out of range for Hungry Winds.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Smart move.
Where is my attack? There we go. That is going to be... Hold on. Two more. 23 damage.
That's a nice roll.
Yep.
That's a nice roll.
That's
a nice donkey.
She feels that one. She's like, ouch, the Ring of the Ram. She knows what it is somehow.
She knows it?
Yeah, sure she does.
She's been rammed Precedes before.
Her.
You know what? That's a pretty good turn from one dry Colme. Oops, I'm sorry. Og Julinus and Tom. I'm so used to complimenting Bill. I'm sorry. But Donnie, I apologize.
I did not expect that from Donnie.
It's such a turnabout, isn't it?
You know, Donnie has good turns too, as you just proved. Top of round three, Harpy A. This would be Harpy A's turn. Harpy A is in the midst of falling down the rock face right now. Harpy B is now... two move actions away either from the party up top or the party down low. She's going to take a double fly move down into melee with Mitchell Groning. Down on the forest floor, bow out, still in critical overdrive. And with her third action, she's going to resolve a jaw attack on you.
Oh boy.
18.
That is a miss.
She misses you. Brutal, unadjusted three. I saw it come up, and I said, that's not going to work. That's the end of Harpy B's turn. That brings us to Mitch.
Mitchell is going to swap.
A one-on-one duel right here on the forest floor. My gosh. Sorry, I talked over you.
That's okay. No, Mitch will swap. Nay, Mitch will drop his bow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yes.
You quick it over your leg as you do it?
Yep. Yeah. Just toss it to the side. Equip the horsed flaming sword.
Yeah.
And, oh boy, what kind of an attack do I want to do here?
Megaton.
Oof, gosh. It's just all my eggs in one basket? No, I don't know. Is the harpy wearing any armor?
Well, let's see. I don't see any armor in the harpy's inventory, but I am looking at the art here and it looks like there's a nice, beautiful, bloody little sash that this thing is wearing. So I'm going to give it to you, Brad, because you've been a good sport by letting me do a retcon. So I will give you
armor. Let me be a good sport back. Am I in the emanation and do I immediately have to do a fort save?
Oh, she comes down. Yes.
Okay. Let's do that. Let's just take care of that business right now.
Smells so bad.
That is a 26.
You pass and you are now immune for 24 hours. You're good to go.
Woohoo! I don't think we're gonna. She's gonna be around that long.
Yeah, probably not.
All right, so I've equipped. So that was one.
Work on your roll.
My next action is going to be to tamper with her sash. I really don't want to touch her, but like I see that like I can tangle her up with it a little bit, and like kind of make it this maybe an easier attack.
Chris, you're an Eagle Scout. What's a knot that he could tie in the sash?
Any knot.
I thought you were going to name a cool.
So he ties an.
I
any
will
knot.
Tie an any knot in the sash of the harpy with a 29.
Oh, yes. The harpy gets what is that? Off guard and a move speed penalty or
off
something.
Off guard and move speed penalty. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
If she wants to take off, we'll have to look at the rules and see if that does. All right. So now with the harpy off guard, I will just do a normal two-handed attack with the sword.
Ooh. Wouldn't it just be one-handed since you needed a hand for you to tamper?
Oh, I suppose it'd be another action to put the hand back on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll just be one-handed. That's fine. I don't know if it's going to actually... It's a 22 to hit.
You have it.
All right. That'll you be... have it. Let me adjust the damage here. That's going to be 2d8 plus 8. Oh, that's a 7 and a 5. Oh, so nice. That is... 20 damage.
Damn.
Whoa.
Oh, and a d6 of fire damage.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
nice. That's a 5. Another 5.
25.
The harpy goes down.
Yeah.
Having taken it's because of the Ring of the Ram damage, too. And that harpy, these harpies have 75 HP. By my count, that harpy was down 63 damage by the time it came down to you.
Nice.
And the harpy goes down.
Wow.
Pluck its feathers.
That was a good fight.
Wow.
Mitch will whisper up, I'm okay. Harpy's dead.
Hot
Og
cheered.
I don't think anyone even sees.
I don't have lip reading on my language sheet. So.
Og cheered as soon as he saw you drop the bow. He knew Mitch is back.
So you yell.
Real Mitch is back.
You yell,
I don't yell
up to them, I'm okay.
Kind of a like a sharp whisper.
I'm okay. Okay. So you do that. You see like Og's little face, you know, 90 feet up.
Peek
looking
over
down at you, peeking over, yeah. His little gnomish hat falls off, and he's like, oh. When that happens, no, I'm just kidding. I don't even know if you wear a hat.
Not anymore. Just fell off the tower.
Mitch, you hear a twig behind you snap. And you turn around. And it's the two Lucrata.
Oh.
Behind you. In the darkness. They're looking at you. What do you do?
I make eye contact as I wipe the blood of the dead harpy off on a rag and throw it down and stand ready.
I want to know if the guys up top can even see these guys. Can get some perception checks from the dudes in the tower.
It's still nighttime, right?
Yeah. It's dark.
17.
24.
27.
I'll give it to Og.
He was peeking over. He has dark vision.
You see him. You see that eye glint. What do you do?
I think he yells down. We let you leave once.
When Dry hears that, his ears perk up. He's like, oh.
We've got the high ground. It's over.
It's over.
Lucrata's A and B begin padding toward you.
Oh.
And they stop like 10 feet away. And they just kind of look at you and they're sniffing the air. And Lucrata A in the low voice looks at Mitch and goes, who are you?
Mitch Groning. I'm Brad Jarrett. I play Mitch Groning. Who are you?
You want to know their names?
Bob and Tim.
I'm Lucrata A.
It's a family name.
Jasper.
Stupid name.
What are you talking about? That's a great name.
That is a good name.
It's a good name. Jasper.
Creature thing.
It's not a good name.
Well, now we have to kill him.
Do you want some harpy? We'll share.
That's interesting because they do hate the harpies. And the Lucratas are just kind of like, they begin cackling in the night a little bit. And they just go, well, what are you doing here? Are you here to take down Harguka?
Yeah, we're here for Harguka.
Interesting.
Care to give us any information?
No. And Lucrata's A and B, they'll pad back into the forest and they just go, good luck. And they just descend into the night as they walk off.
Mitch is going to need a change of clothes.
Tries to roll a perception check to see if there's anything up in the harpy nest worth.
You know,
yep. And Ciro is oblivious to all this. He's still retching on the staircase.
No, Dry, you don't really see anything of interest other than the bonfire is fueled with the guano of the harpies.
Mm. Well, that's going to burn out.
Oh, that's going to smell horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's part of the whole situation.
I'm getting out of there and going back down next to my pig that smells good.
Brad, both harpy corpses are down with you. As you look over the bodies, each wears jewelry worth 60 gold pieces. So there's a 120 gold piece haul from this fight.
All right.
Man, we got to be loaded.
We are doing pretty well financially, yeah.
Fine. Like an accountant, financially we're doing fine.
I think Mitch is also going to kind of look up and make eye contact with Og and give him the universal signal for watch my back. I'm going to come inside. But I don't trust those Lucratas behind me. So
yeah,
hopefully.
I think Og would have let everybody know what was going on in his own unique way and maybe, you know, would ask one of, hey, you guys have bows and magic. Can you keep an eye out? He does pull out a potion real quick in case he needs it, though.
Okay. So you...
I'm going to trudge back in.
You begin walking back in?
Mm-hmm.
As you come into the cave, roll a perception check.
Well, that's where I'm really good at perception checks. We all know this. Oh, that is not horrible. That's a 21.
He wants to punish us more for splitting the party.
We didn't split the party.
I know. Well, he doesn't want to give up the fact that he was able to successfully split the party.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? So you signal to Og, hey, I'm coming up. I picture you kind of waving your hand at him a little bit. You walk into the gray worm tunnel. And you begin ascending up. And, you know, by the time you really detect it, it's maybe kind of too late. I was reviewing perception, passive perception, or perception DCs, and I mean, the fact of the matter is that from a mechanic standpoint, I just don't know that Mitchell was trying to avoid notice anyway. I mean, I just think you were trudging up the hill.
I would agree with that. Like, this is a cleared area. Like, we've killed. Yeah. So the Crotas were the only surprise.
As you come over the rise, you look into the darkness, and, you know, the truth is, you know, you're not really casting light anyway. I mean, were you just walking into the pitch black, or do you have a light source?
I suppose I am. Yeah. God, that's a really good point. I mean, can I retcon say that I light a torch? I
do have torches. What would Mitch do in the darkness?
You would have lit a torch.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I would have a torch out. Yeah. So torch in one hand, sword in the other.
Torch. Yeah. Your torch and sword. Mm-hmm. And as you're getting closer, you really hear them right around the time the light illuminates them. You get up to where the corpse is of the stone troll, the cavern troll, and there are new creatures here. In fact, there are two hobgoblins that are in this cave now, right where they're looking at the corpses of the troll hounds that you killed. They're looking at the corpse of the cave troll. But that's not really the thing that gets you most hyped up. The thing that you see that's highly unfortunate is that there's a two-headed troll, massive two-headed troll in this cave system. And the three creatures, their necks snap up and they look at you and you look at them. And we're going to draw the curtain on this part of the dungeon for the moment. Although I will take, what would Brad, what Mitch, what would Mitch do in this situation?
What would Mitch do?
What would he do? Assuming he gets the chance to do something, what would he do?
Seeing what I can see on the map right now. So they would all be visible to me? Like, do they have light sources, or are they outside of?
No, they do not have light sources. So maybe, you know, given.
I just see glowing eyes.
They're in dim light for you now. Your torch is illuminating them in dim light. Okay. So they've got concealment, but you see them, and of course they see you with the torch.
I would book it up towards the party. I would run past that cave, that little branch there,
and
start going.
Right. So they're going down the southern side.
Yep.
And you're going to run up the northern end. Okay.
Probably making a lot of noise.
Interesting.
At this point.
Help.
All right. Sirio's party. You guys are up at the top of this tower. What are you doing?
We officially have a split group.
Cool.
I made my way to the bottom of the tower.
Well, I was wondering. So, Mitch gave the universal sign for I'm coming up.
Yeah. He spiraled his hands like, I'm coming up.
Would
Neela Tran did.
I feel like, I mean, we know we're done up there, right?
Yeah.
I feel like we would have been actually coming back down to meet him. I don't think we would have stood there and waited for him to come back up, right? I don't know, though. Because had this hadn't come up, I don't think I'd be saying we're going back down. We probably would have just waited for Mitch to come back up.
Well, I stated that I was going to get away from the shit smell and walk down by my pit.
Oh, you did. You're right.
He did say that.
Okay. Yeah, that's all there is up there. There's no walkways or anything, right? It's just the spire.
Yeah.
Or are there walkways?
There's no walkways. There's nothing up there. You know, you guys did take a few minutes to search up there, but I guess Mitch at the same time was searching the harpies down there.
Yeah.
So it's not as though you're still up there rooting around in the guano fire.
I mean, we saw the whole thing going over with the other one. So, and then Mitch was like, "I'm coming back up." I think Og would have said, "Okay, you know, like,
and
he's coming back up," and
dry headed back down to meet him.
And somebody would have been like, "Og, there's nothing else to do up here, man. Let's go down and meet him." Right?
Yeah, because like it just takes a second to glance around the room and be like, "All right, there's literally nothing up here but bird shit."
You know, how do the timelines match up with each other? When does Dry get down to the bottom of the tower versus Mitchell trudging up back into the cave with a torch? How do those timelines mesh, or do they? Is Dry still coming down the steps?
Well, no, because it's just, if Mitchell had to walk from all the way out here to all the way to where he's at now, I had to just walk down a flight of stairs and walk out a door. Like, he's covered three times the distance that I had to cover. So I would have been down here before he walked in the cave.
So, Dry, you're down at this intersection in this hallway. You've got the barracks down the hall from you to your left. And then
I'm assuming all these doors are still open. Like, we didn't close the doors behind us.
I don't know. What would you have done? Would you have left it?
We would have just walked through them.
Okay, so the barracks door would have been open, but the door from the barracks into that other room.
Into the no-no room.
That would have been closed because we barricaded that and we took a break.
Oh, yeah.
So in the hallway to the barracks
would be open. So this is open.
Yes.
This is not.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Shit, we barricaded it.
Oh, God, you barricaded it. Yeah.
That one, but not the other.
I mean, what could we have really barricaded it with?
All the pallets and stuff in there. It's gonna, yeah. Mitch would know that that's not the door to go through when he's already probably in his head like the quickest path up there. Don't go through that door. He's a fast boy, so he knows that he can skirt north and maybe outrun these things.
I think it might be time, Brad, for you and I to make some important initiative checks. Perception based. You see them, they see you, they're lunging at you, bows are coming up, they're attacking you on sight. Roll for initiative.
Okay.
Now, this is just you and me. We're just two guys right now, okay? I'm thinking more and more about when the other half of the party might become aware of this. I'm thinking about closed doors and barricaded doors and shit. And we'll feel it out as we go.
I just want to kind of remind you of how the episode started today.
Okay.
But here we go.
All right. Remind me. Oh, yeah.
You're kind of retconning and like critting me in midair.
Yes.
Just a couple guys rolling dice.
Yeah, we're just a couple guys rolling dice. How many HP? So you're kind of down some HP.
Oh, that is a 19 on the die. I like that a lot.
Nice.
That's a 26.
26. Okay. Here's my two-headed troll.
Ooh. You're such a douche.
Here's my one-headed hobgoblin archer. And here's my other one-headed hobgoblin archer. It is the two-headed troll's turn with an unadjusted 17, resulting in an initiative score of 35.
Oh my god.
We got some choices, right, Brad? We got some choices here. Do we play this combat out, or do we just simply swap back to the other party's perception of things, leaving maybe some mystery surrounding what happens in the worm cave?
So there's nothing for them to react to right now. There'd be no reason for them to be an initiative until your character's attack and like a ruckus happens. Like, and then there's maybe a perception check to see if they hear everything going on. But right now there's stone walls and closed doors between us.
Stone walls, closed doors, you know.
Yeah, the worst possible situation.
The barracks trolls didn't really react at all to the cavern troll encounter. I mean, you're pretty far away. I think it's just the turning of time. Chris and Donnie, you guys have both run a lot of games at this point. What's your take on what I'm doing right now?
Well, I mean, our characters are still doing stuff while this is happening. So, like, we're on our way back to the entrance to meet Mitch. So, however many moves we get to do that in between the time he's walking in.
I would think we would be kind of milling around waiting, possibly healing or whatever. And we wouldn't, like, until somebody was like, it's taken Mitch longer than it should have.
How long do you think it would take you to investigate? And I have to commend you guys for working really hard to avoid the meta right now. Would this be a minute? Would this be 2 minutes or 30 seconds? Like, how long do you wait for him?
It'd be four movement actions for me to get to them.
I think 1d4 something. I don't want to say. Like, that's a lot on time, though.
Maybe we play a round of combat to see if maybe Mitch can burst out the no-no room. Maybe he can make it. Should we?
The only way I make it is if I survive the attack of the I mean, cut that, but yeah. If the troll comes up and hits me.
He's dead, and he goes down then.
Right, and then I'm down, and then...
If he goes down, that's it.
And then, yeah, that's...
I said, we're eventually going to come looking, right. But...
It could be too late.
Yeah, I'm seeing three move actions for you to get into the no-no room.
Right.
And then you've got another... And then in round two, I could see you first action to the doors, second action open the doors, third action out into the hallway.
Right, but I'm going to be screaming the whole way. So I'm okay. going to be...
Making... So they may tip you off. You may tip them off earlier.
Right, right.
And also, now this is dry being dry. Would probably like walk down here and like start walking towards this door just to open it for him, because that's just what he would do. It's what that's what I would do as a person if it was Brad walking into a room. I would just walk up, meet him at the door, and open it.
And Bill, you walked to the closest door to you, but remember that the next door that I have to go through is barricaded.
Well, this one down here you can come through.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do round one of this two-headed troll encounter, 3-on-1. Okay. Okay. The two-headed troll, with a land speed of 30 feet, will clear the distance in one move action.
You better fucking matrix some shit.
And he's got it. He just comes lumbering toward you. He's 10 feet away from you, but he's got a reach, as you know. Jaw attack versus Mitchell. 24. 27 damage.
Mitch hits the ground. Okay. 0 hit points. Dying one.
We draw the curtain now on this. We cut back to you guys. 30, 45 seconds go by. A minute goes by.
At this point, Dry would have walked down the hallway to this door.
Well, you guys are telling me you were going to be milling down at the bottom. But if
that happened in 6 seconds, right?
Yeah, I mean, like this was fast. So yeah,
he came up and smacked me.
But I mean, it also happened so fast that ultimately, I don't know that it particularly matters to me at this point how long you mill at the bottom of the tower. I mean, if you're walking over back to the barracks or back to the no-no room doors, I mean, you do this. And I think whether you did 6 seconds or 30 seconds or it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying?
Well, just to clarify something real quick, like I was down here moving ahead of Brad, so I would be a little bit ahead of everybody else. Just so we're clear. Like I'm already, like I was waiting for Brad down here.
I can see that. Like you're like, I'll open the door for him.
Yeah. Like I'm going to come down and like I would for you guys if I was waiting for you in real life somewhere, but like, right. Oh, let me get the door right. For you.
Yeah. You stand, Dreykulme, before the doors to the no-no room. These are doors you've never traversed before. They are closed.
They're really trapped. Sorry.
Go ahead. What if they're trapped?
I'm going to say they're not trapped because fucking two hobgoblins and a two-headed troll made it through.
Oh, would they have left the doors open or closed?
They could have came from outside. They, you know.
All right.
Are the doors open or
they're
closed?
They're closed.
Yeah, if they're open, Dry would know something's up.
You open them?
Yep.
You open them. You got
I'm going to check them. Ah, fuck it. I'm just going to open them. Why start checking now?
Yeah. You open them and you look into the no-no room. Is light cast on Dry?
No.
Where is light cast?
But it's on my staff.
Okay. Are you with Dry?
No, he's way down here.
No.
But I have low light vision.
Yeah.
Does that work?
Well, yeah. I mean, it does to the extent that the torchlight of the hallway streams into the no-no room. Yeah. I mean, you reveal some of the stuff there. As you open the door, you hear movement.
So I open the doors.
You open the door.
And I hear something.
You hear trudging and you hear talking in Jotun.
And I know Mitch is supposed to be coming this way.
Yeah, you do.
I'm just going to turn around. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go, yo, and then I'm just going to run out the door.
Okay. Yo, and you run in and...
To right there.
We are back into initiative. So you run into the pitch black because...
Well, I can still see... Brad's torch is still on the ground from where he got knocked out. So there's still light down there.
Maybe.
What do you mean, maybe? Did you put it out when you fell on it?
I like that. I like that a lot. The torch would not be relevant to these dark-visioned guys, you know? They don't care. They don't care about a torch. It doesn't mean anything to them. All the torch provides them with is color, right? So, yeah, they left it burning, okay? So, Dry, you run into the no-no room. You turn the corner of the cave. You look down the pathway, and you see the two-headed troll that Mitch saw 90 seconds ago. And the two-headed troll has Mitchell's body slung over its shoulder, and he's walking, fireman carrying Mitchell Groning, okay? You look, and one of these hobgoblins is, like, holding Horst's sword and, like, looking at it, and the other hobgoblin is holding the Mitch Special, the other Roka sword, and is, like, looking at that, and they're kind of, like, clinging them together and playing with them. And that's the fucking thing that you see as you come around the corner.
Well, my prey's already hunted.
Yeah, you would react to this with the two-headed troll.
I'm going to swap the sword for the bow.
Sure.
And I'm gonna try and shoot this thing in the ribs.
Okay.
I'm gonna do my best to avoid Mitch.
Of course. I'm moving the tokens up of the rest of the party commensurate with what I think has gone by time-wise. We are back into initiative.
Wow. Some of you are.
Nice. 29.
Dry. Og.
Oh, let's see. 12.
Sirio.
25.
Good. The two-headed troll with an unadjusted 12 with a modifier of plus 18 on his perception has won initiative by 1 point over Dry.
Fuck it. Jesus.
I know. He, as a free action, drops Mitchell's body to the ground.
He could swap.
How tall is that giant? How tall is that troll?
Oh, my God.
To swap Mitchell into his pocket. No. I don't have the action economy to swap. Mitchell, his body crumples to the ground, and the troll will begin lumbering toward Dreykulme. Yeah. In two move actions, he can get here.
What's his fucking move economy?
He's got 30. A 30-foot speed, so he takes two move actions. And he runs toward Dreykulme. And then this club comes toward you. One of the club. It's a club attack.
Also, when did he pull the club?
Yeah, when did he pull the club?
The one-handed club. So he's holding the club in one hand. He's got Mitch in the other. And he just swings this thing at you. It's a low roll there, fellas. It's a 22.
That's exactly my AC.
Okay. Yeah. he gets you then. The 2d8 plus 8. 11 damage to Dreykulme. The other side of the troll's body now moves. You realize, just like that Etten that Dreykulme and Jaethel fought all those episodes ago, this guy's got four actions. He's really two creatures, each with two actions. So the first troll operated the legs for two actions, lumbered toward you. The second troll, let me rethink that here. Yeah, I guess actually, yeah. So it's just going to be a second club attack, subject to the multiple attack penalty. Sorry. So troll number one ran their collective body toward you. Troll number two is batting at you with a couple club hits. And that second one is going to miss with now a 20. So that's not going to hit. And that is the end of the two-headed troll's turn. Dry, you've reacted. This troll is your hunted prey. I'm going to say that he's in the dim light now for you. There's no concealment issues. What do you do?
Dry's going to take a 5-foot step this way.
Okay.
And then duck back here in the corner.
Fuck yeah.
Ooh. Hide.
Then I'm gonna hide.
Yes. Ooh, okay. Make a hide check. Make a stealth check.
25.
Okay. Wow.
I've never seen that from any of Bill's characters. That was amazing.
That was okay. So I'm sorry to orient the listener. He's creeped around a stone corner out of eyesight from everybody. Okay. Interesting.
The goal is so when these guys busted the door, the guy's already going to be in a flank.
Somebody yeah, has that's a smart move, man. I like it.
Do anything.
That's awesome, Bill.
That's why I was like, give me a minute. Let me think. I got to figure out what's going on. And also, these little fucks down here can't shoot me with anything.
Yeah, fucks.
That brings us to Sirio.
Yeah, so after Dry busted through there, I'm going to peek around and see if I hear what the squeal was.
What's your perception, DC? I'm just trying to determine whether or not you can see Dracolmay.
Yeah, so my passive perception is 22.
So with his, it was a 25 on the stealth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was 25.
Yeah, so you don't immediately see Dracolmay. And you don't see any other creatures either. The two-headed troll that we, the players, are aware of, that you can hear that lumbering creature, but it's like he's obscured by that rock face that he's still behind. And you hear some additional creatures back behind him as well. But like you don't see, like the archers, for example, they don't seem to be in the no-no room in your view right now.
So they are archers.
Nice.
Oh, whoops, a daisy.
Yeah, they got bows. Archers holding Roka swords.
Yeah, yeah. You would have seen their bows. Yeah, you'd know they're archers. Yeah, and they are. Yeah, they each one has a Roka sword.
Well, as a player, I know what's going on, but Sirio, the character, does not. So, seeing this empty room, we're gonna drop a little target dummy in here. Gonna summon a fey creature and bring in our friend the Midflit.
Oh, the Midflit!
What?
Midflit.
What was his name?
A scallywag or something, I forget.
Yeah, it was something. Scallywag. We'll have to look that back
was
up.
Was that Midflit A?
Midflit A.
Alphabet of Midflits.
Okay. So yeah, he's in the middle of the room here.
Okay, Midflit A is there. I never can remember how this works. Does he act now, or do you sustain him next round, and then that's when he acts?
Well, if you look at the rule for summoned, immediately when you finish casting the spell, the summoned creature uses its two actions for that turn.
Oh, well, there you have it. Good lord.
Player core 301.
So the Midflit can act there, Chris, if you wish it to.
Yeah, so this Midflit's got two actions. He's just going to start walking up into the, you know, walking out of the no-no room into the hallway
so
here.
So the Midflit has dark vision. So upon the Midflit's first action, he walks into the hallway. He looks to his left. He sees the two-headed troll with a club in one of his hands and two hobgoblin archers wielding Roka swords. What does he do with his second action?
Seeing the two-headed troll, the Midflit's going to look, turns around and scuttles toward the larder with all the dead bodies. He's going to try to lure this guy away.
Dashes in to the larder. And then, almost as if by clockwork, you watch then from your vantage point, Sirio, as one of the hobgoblin archers, whose turn is next, he will run into your view, okay? He does not seem to notice you there, concealed, just looking around the door. And he's going to pull his bow out as his second action. He drops the Mitchell Special on the ground. This was the one carrying the Mitch Special. Drops the Mitch Special on the ground, equips the bow as a second action, and as his third action, he notches an arrow, and he shoots at the Midflit.
Da, 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 da.
No, wow. Not the Midflit.
Wow.
You know, I just feel bad for the Midflit that was on call tonight.
Yeah, it was his turn.